measure success.
Another exciting episode. For those of you who are regular listeners, of course, I mean that. And for those of you who have never listened to this show before, brace yourself. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in full-on collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's alternative media. Make a donation or whatever if you want. Doesn't matter. Keep trucking on because we have a saying, we're going to do it anyway. Because there's no freaking credible media. So we better make some freaking incredible media to compete with it. That's right. Speaking of incredible, Mr. Incredible himself has decided to be a guest on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's Bill Deagle, of course. Mr. the indeagleable Deagle. You're welcome to the show, mate.
Yeah, thanks very much, Vinny. Yeah, we had a lot of fun in that last hour. My third hour guest, Tex Mars, wasn't able to make it. His wife has had an acute heart attack, but we hopefully precipitated some humorous heart attacks for those people who listened to that first hour, and hopefully we'll continue the same level of humor, honesty, and as I said, one of the funniest things to do is to tell the truth.
Yep, there's nothing quite like having a coronary whilst talking to whilst listening to talk radio. Speaking of having a coronary, you're in fact a doctor of sorts. Now, for those of the audience, and indeed myself, who might need a little bit more refreshing, just who the F are you, Dr. Bill Deagle? Because, quite frankly, I'm aghast. I've heard so many things from incredible underground bases that you've been in with security level clearance higher than the president and talking about all this classified technology that is just being released today that you saw back in the 60s and all this other kind of amazing stuff. Could you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I think...
And plug your, and man, most importantly, plug your freaking websites, boy, because people need to actually... There's a lot more to say.
My radio show is called The Nutramedical Report, Clay and Iron Show. And the two websites are Nutramedical, N-U-T-R-I, medical.com. And the other website is Clay and Iron, C-L-A-Y-A-N-D-I-R-O-N.com. We also have a live stream premium TV channel, and you can subscribe and listen to the program or watch it on television. The radio archives on the Nutramedical Report on Genesis Network are free. You can listen by K-band satellite, North and South America, broadband worldwide. You can have a phone app and pick it up on your phone in New Zealand or Australia or the UK or Norway. So that's Nutramedical, N-U-T-R-I, medical.com. We also sell nutraceutical and anti-aging technologies. We ship worldwide. We have, I believe, the best in the world. And we ship everywhere on the planet. Now, the key thing is that my coming out happened in many stages. I was supposed to go into nuclear physics at MIT, and back in the early 70s, I was specially recruited, and I turned it down and decided to go into honors biochemistry. My grandfather was dying of diabetes, so he asked me to go into medicine because at the time he was having a foot amputation because of diabetic gangrene. So I went into medicine, and my professor, I remember telling me for my PhD project, which I completed at age 21 in 5 months, told me that I was going to go into medicine and deal with knuckleheads. And I found over the next number of years that he was correct. So the situation was that in 1977, I graduated from medicine, and I went into family internal medicine then. My first revelation was that medicine wasn't what it seemed. Medicine is a very political realm where, as you said in my program, the scum like a duck pond rises to the top. And usually the political animals, this is an actual statistic, believe it or not, is that if you're a medical doctor, you're 11 times more likely to be a serial killer, believe it or not. That's one of these bizarre facts, you know, Ripley's Believe It or Not. So I went into medicine.
Well, that's one of the things that I would believe.
One of the things, I'm sure you would. It's one of those, ha-ha, oh my gosh, it's true. I think it's, there's a TV show on now about a serial killer who actually just kills serial killers on television. I think it's called, I don't remember the name of the guy, but it's quite funny. My son likes it, I don't like to watch it. So 1980, I went into medicine. I've specialized in family internal and occupational medicine. Also trained in trauma and burn units. I was training also as a specialist in pain medicine, interventional pain medicine, putting in spinal pumps and stimulators. So I've done everything. Been in the middle of nowhere, worked in the intensive care unit, worked in the ICU, did internal medicine for years. And in 1994, when things really started to take a turn, although they tried to recruit me in 1974 to take a year off medicine and work for the Special Virus Project in Uganda on the retrovirus, which later got called the AIDS virus. So this was basically a biological weapon, which I turned them down. And in 1977, they accepted me as a resident to work under Dr. Wallace Tortelot at the UCLA VA hospital. I was going to be working for him as his private resident on the World Brain Tissue MS repository, doing scanning, electron microscopy, and advanced immunology. But the other four projects he wanted me to work on were the Super Soldier program. So I saw things firsthand that most people will never see in their life. Now, in 1994, I got accepted as the next down from the commander for CCOM, the Colorado Center for OCMED. And our contracts were private because the government here in America started back in the 80s to decide to contract to private contractors rather than inside government departments. Easy to just fire people or they suddenly disappear or die. It's less messy than dealing with internal military investigations. So CCOM, we had the contract for NORAD, which is North American Air Defense Command, U.S. Space Command, Strategic Defense Star Wars, the Atmel ferromagnetic chip against EMP warfare, large array microchips, the Virtual World Project, which is at Falcon Shreve Air Force Base, three higher levels of security than NORAD, and many other extremely classified projects, including space-based weapon platforms and our off-world space projects, including our mining operations on the moon and our colony on Mars. So I know lots of stuff that goes way beyond even the coast-to-coast radio stuff, not secondhand, but firsthand. So in 1994...
Have you been to the moon or Mars?
No.
No.
But the very first thing that back in July 10th, 1994... when they're bringing us through a tour of Shreve Air Force Base. And what they did is, of course, I'll just describe, just as I did in the break before, what it was like. The first time we asked us to go in, they said, we've all been security cleared. Our guard that we had to bring us through had to go through a bank of one of 20 laser retinal scanners and play a little video game because they scanned the back of his retina to make sure it's him and weighed him. And he's inside this little steel box with Kevlar windows. And then once he gets okayed that he really is him, not a clone or somebody else. They opened the door and said, oh, you don't need to go through the scanner, it's fine. And they said, now make sure you go to the bathroom first because you don't want to lose control of your bowel and bladder. I said, well, why is that? And he said, well, the door of the elevator opened. We get inside and he said, now you have to hold the sides of the elevators. Why? He said, you'll know in a second. And pretty soon our feet were off the floor because we're falling so fast we're like at zero G. open up the bottom of the thing. God knows how long down, how many seconds it was, but we opened at the bottom. We walk out into this underground city. And, of course, they walked us through the array. They had an entire simulation of NORAD built underground for training people to work in North American defense or their facilities at SAC Command and elsewhere. They had simulations of all these, actually built to size and scale with actual radar and other specialists in their training. They also had an underground array of the Seymour Cray 4 array of underground supercomputers of hundreds of them in a giant cube underground, and they had us walk through the tunnels with cables as big as your thumb, hundreds of them running through tunnels 18 foot high. And of course, when you walk into the Cray array, they had these mica screens with liquid nitrogen bathing the, called the brain, all these wires, millions of wires. And you couldn't bring anything electronic like a watch in, or anything steel around your neck, or it would yank it right off or blow your watch to pieces, you know. So the first thing that the commander of U.S. Space Command said to us is, now that you're one of us, we don't want you to freak out. So this is a come-to-Jesus talk. I said, uh-oh, this is going to get weird. And what he said is, you know about the Black Knight satellite? I said, well, no, I never heard of it before. He said, well, it's been up there at least 12,000 years to 25,000 years, and a previous human civilization put it there, and it's in polar geocentric orbit. It's in polar orbit at 22,000 miles, and we visited. I said, why do I need to know this? He says, there's lots of things we're going to tell you so that when you find them out, because you will, you don't freak out. Right? So I can't do. If I gave you all the information that I've known over the years that I picked up, it would take hours and hours. But that just gives you a kind of a segue.
Well, I have, in fact, had to sit down and watched one of your presentations that was like in 24 parts or something, Dr. Bill. So literally, it does take hours and hours, and I have seen it, and it is freaking unbelievably awesome.
What I tell people, though, is I only discuss 10% of what I know. Because some of it is so over the top that people couldn't accept it, or so complicated and technical, they it would take a long time to train them up so they could even understand it. So, not trying to be arrogant or whatever, but I tell people, I've been there, done that. Now, in 1994, I got accepted as the next down for Commander Major George Schwinder as one of the senior doctors at CECOM. And we had the contract. He was supposed to go off to Fort Hood, Texas to do more airtime or he'd lose his wings. So I did the exit examination on all five of the special op forensics team that are all chemists that came back from the Alpha P. Murrow building in Oklahoma City. And one of the five broke down and crying and showing me his arm and saying, look, I want radiation testing because I've been irradiated. I said, well, look, you're a chemist. I know about ANFO. I'm a chemist. I have advanced training in analytic, inorganic, chemistry, medio chemistry. I said, if you don't tell me what's going on, like the TV character Becker, the Dr. Becker, I'm not going to help you. So he broke down. He said, I'm going to tell you everything. So for the next 2 hours and 15 minutes, roughly, he told me in exquisite detail how the Murrow building was radioactive and how they detected with three different radiation detectors and how they removed two unexploded U.S. Army Corps engineer micronukes that were tunable from a tenth of a kiloton up to 15 to 20 kilotons. And C4 pineapple, RDX, and high explosive cord that they removed two unexploded U.S. Army Corps engineer micronukes and other bombs, and that he wanted to have kids and wanted to make sure they were normal because he was irradiated. And I said, well, I'm going to tell you what tests to do, and you go do these tests, and I'll get the results in a few days, and if they're abnormal, we'll get more done. 3 months later, he was apparently in a bar near Fort Carson, and I guess he spilled the beans a bit, and they court-martialed him, and they called me into the boardroom and fired me and gave me death threats. And, of course, being Deagle, who's a little bit kind of, like, unpredictable, I said, well, I know where you sleep, Commander Schwinder. So if you want to put your socks on in the morning tomorrow, you're going to cut me a big check, and you're going to give me a letter of reference. If you have you or any of your special op guys come after me, my family within 500 miles, you're not going to put your socks on in the morning anymore. Because if something happens to me, something is going to happen to you. And I got my check, my letter of reference, the next day. And that was one of my first experiences dealing with Oklahoma City. Now, the Oklahoma City thing came up numerous times. It came up even in 2007 because the Board of Medical Examiners tried to come after me because they were fully aware, because I had a show on Genesis Network and I had disclosed this. In fact, it was the first thing I disclosed on the Alex Jones show back in 2004. I think it was October. And a month or so later, I got called by Butch Paul, who was another host on Genesis Network, to come on and talk about it some more. And January of 2005, I got a call from Ted Anderson, who said, we want you to be a host on the show because we have, know you have a lot more to say than just Oklahoma City. So that's the genesis of it. 2007, I was in lockdown deposition in District 5 Courthouse in Denver, and the opposing attorney were trying to file a wrongful death suit from one of my patients who got medications from a psychiatrist from Arapahoe County because the young person I was taking care of was a criminal and had killed himself with drugs he got from his psychiatrist and emergency doctor. And for 45 minutes, they insisted that I answer questions about Oklahoma City to the great disgruntledness of my senior attorney from Copic Insurance, Paul Cooper, who slammed the desk, and they hauled in the federal magistrate and said that if I didn't answer the questions, I'd be arrested. And if he kept on interfering with me answering them, he would be arrested. And the director of Copic Insurance was right there at the deposition room, so they could be cross-examined at any time in the future. Well, since that time, I have incredible, damning documents of this U.S. government, right up to the Department of Justice and Mr. David Margolis, their current Attorney General Eric Holder, who covered up the death of Michael Trentadue. Just spoke on the weekend to Jesse Trentadue, who's an attorney in Salt Lake City, whose brother was a dead ringer for one of the FBI operatives that was recruited by David Mahon. And I quoted the other day, in fact, some of the most damning recent effects of this. This is just one of the many stories that we're following. And if we, a citizen journalist, can find this out, what the hell is the regular media doing? How about SFA? And I don't want to describe what that means in letters.
Well, we'll actually have to describe what that means during the off-air break, because it's under FCC regulations, baby. And
yeah,
we'll
exactly,
be right back.
But we can't
we'll
do that,
right,
can we?
Yeah, and we'll be right back.
Yeah. And no one like me. Yeah. 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 Congratulations. You made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo.
Yeah.
But I'm here now. So what you wanna do?
Huh?
How many dudes you really know can flow like this? Like this, like this, let's do it. How many dudes you know vote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any, not many, if any. How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody. Check to the mic, check.
Nobody rocks a show like this. Nobody rocks a show like this, baby. Yeah.
Oh, boy. You sound like Mike Myers there with that accent, the way you said that.
Well, thank you.
With the same kind of level of off-the-wall comedy.
Have you noticed that the brainwashing in our society has become so deeply implanted through the mindset of television and movies? You know, you watch movies over a certain time and you watch many of the same actors. I feel that I've grafted certain points of their personality and sometimes it comes out. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I'm just an amalgamation of brainwashing objectification.
Well, yeah, just like that recent ban in Japan that apparently did a cybernetic, if you want to call it, aggregation of a number of visual and other characteristics of one of all the members of a band in Japan, and they had all these fans thinking this female artist was so wonderful in Japan. It turned out she was just a cybernetic creation, so maybe Benny Eastwood is actually in virtual space.
Yeah, well, maybe I don't want to get that out of the mind because I like to be planted firmly right here in reality whilst accepting the possibility of all of these other things, because you can't really act against things that you can't directly affect.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. I was finishing up that story because I wanted to get people to get an idea where this is all going. Oklahoma City, and I'm just going to read this little statement here that I got from one of my sources, and I gave this to Jesse Chanadu because he was in court on May 11th before the federal judge to get the I and J drives from Oklahoma City, which are hidden drives by the FBI, and the videotapes that Judge Mate sealed, which shows that the FBI and the ATF and CIA did Oklahoma City, the government did 9/11. It wasn't a bunch of Arab terrorists that fly jets into buildings and do what's called threading the needle, which is a procedure, as one of the doctors that took care of pilots flying out of Air Force Academy for some years. This is not aeronautically possible. So let me read this quick statement here. While in the courtroom there with Stephen Jones, the attorney for Timothy McVeigh that they, of course, send to the death chambers, and the attorney was with Roger Charles, the second investigator of the Oklahoma City bombing for the government, he was told by Judge Mache that, no, you cannot subpoena Dennis Mahan, who recruited Timothy McVeigh, according to depositions and documents, because he works for the FBI. Now, when I told this to Jesse Trinity, who was an attorney whose brother was electrocuted, shocked, and tortured to death, and he won a settlement against the U.S. Department of Prisons years ago, and he's now in court trying to get all these things opened up, because he first tried to find the cause of the death of his brother, but now he's trying to find the cause of the death of his nation and the world. This is, you know, goes to the dark side of what's going on. Oklahoma City, they said they were going to depose me in front of Judge Mache in February 2007, which is just a little over 4 years ago, and I was told by Copic Insurance that they did, and I answered the questions the way I did in the deposition. I would be found guilty of accusing federal Judge Mache of misprision of justice and covering up evidence in the federal court, and I would be sent to prison as a political prisoner for many years, simply because I told the truth. Now, the fact is, we are not living in maybe a pre-police state, and it's not just in America, it's in every nation now. So when you fly into New Zealand, or you're patted down in Canada, or you go to Britain, or you go through these terahertz body scanners that cause cancer, the matrix is already here. Every phone, fax, and email has always, since the early 1980s, when they started having AI supercomputers, has always been monitored. They're not waiting for a future date where they're going to hit the singularity, like Ray Kurzweil says, and at some date like 2024 they're going to do it. They launched the supercomputer singularity, if you want to call it Global Mind, in 2003. That's a fact. Now, we need to understand how late the hour is. And we need to use humor to get there because it's so over the top that people just say, they freeze up. It's almost like, you know, you go out into your garden and you're not met by a pussycat by a mountain lion that's 400 pounds. So I try to use a little bit of humor here.
You know what? Well, Bill, I just have something that I have to interject in here. This reminds me of the scene in Monty Python's The Life of Brian when he's crucified for no good reason. And a guy's just telling him to, you know, stop whinging about it and always look on the bright side of death.
I love that. That's actually my favorite song in the whole movie.
Just before you draw your terminal breath.
Before you die. Yeah, that's right, exactly. And basically, if you're not afraid of death, which I'm not, I mean, I'm afraid of a little bit of pain, but I'm not really. And that's what really freaks out the globalists, is if they can just stomp you out. But they're more afraid of your ghost coming back in terms of documents and activating and waking other people up. The most frightening thing to them is that if they did snuff someone like Dr. Deagle, a lot of people are going to think, well, he's in the periphery of the 9/11 truth movement. Now they move right to center stage and say, oh, my God, he's dead now. He must be right. And that's the thing that freaks them out, is that I'm sitting on a landmine, a mountain of evidence against Oklahoma City. Not only that, 9/11, I've been trying to track down labs in Spain and Germany that can do radiation testing of the debris. I've proven that they use nuclear devices as well as other advanced weapons to demolish the World Trade Center. They pulled us into an illegal war at the cost of trillions of dollars. They're literally exporting the debt all over the planet, which is now where we're in this derivatives mess. As you mentioned, the prime sinister of New Zealand is involved, I'm sure, because derivatives are the, if you want to call it, the debt bomb to destroy the planet Earth. And, of course, out of the ashes of that, guess what we're going to have? It's called the Mark of the Beast, the Matrix. And people say, oh, no, you're just a conspiracy theorist, Dr. Deagle. I said, I wish. I mean, I wish I could roll up my sleeve and get a shot of an antipsychotic and the delusions would just go away. But unfortunately, it's what I've lived and continue to live on a daily basis. It's real.
Bill, you know, you just tapped on something that I realized long ago is, wouldn't it be fabulous if you woke up tomorrow and that you've realized that there was actually no such thing as a Rothschild, no such thing as a Rockefeller, no such thing as bad vaccines, and no poisons in the fluoride. None of that stuff was real. It was all a giant hoax and conspiracy theorist, and the resultant realization is just like, oh, my God, that whole time there wasn't anybody trying to kill us all. I was just insane. I was just insane. You know, that would be an immense relief, I think.
Well, you know what? What you're describing is us in the future, and we're now in heaven, but we're having a nightmare about being back on Earth or in hell.
I've met the enemy.
They wake up and shake and say, don't worry, you're dead, and you're in heaven, and you're not back there.
Oh, well, yeah, right. Like we're being led out the back of some garden path by some Assyrian lord after being dosed on copious amounts of hashish. You know, it's like there's all these forms of different reality that people want to be sucked into. And I find it's like sometimes, Bill, don't you think that some people get far too ethereal and too caught up in their mind that they don't actually do anything about it?
Yeah, it's another excuse. It's a cop out. It's another excuse to say it's so far out there. It's like, oh, they have, like, for example, I get a kick out of it. I call the people that expect the aliens to kind of save us. And, of course, I like, I'm not an agnostic. I'm a messianic believer. But I like people that sometimes make statements I think are quite humorous, like Stephen Hawking's statement. If there were aliens out there, you don't want them to discover you because a logical analysis of the situation would be they'd most likely either view you as food or to be enslaved or wiped out.
Well, that's because that's how humans treat every different kind of form of species that they perceive.
Right, exactly. In other words, they're just projecting what we are if we ever get FTL, faster than light technology, and we were like battle. Galactica, how we would spread across the universe as a cosmic nightmare and a...
If you want a cosmic to call it, cancer called humanity.
A cosmic cancer to the universe.
Yeah. Well, look at it this way. Do you believe, perhaps, Bill, that we're in the middle of a human race-wide case of the cop-outs?
Yes. Oh, yeah. And there's several ways of people copping out. One of the statements I hear all the time is that they say that we are sheeple. We're not sheeple. There's two reasons why people don't get involved. The first reason is that it takes less effort to ignore things because, at least in the short term, there's less pain. So, in other words, they're trying to avoid pain, the pain of actually realizing that things are not as they were. The second reason is kind of paired with that, is cowardice. They're afraid of something that they think they're in control of, which is a lie, that if they step out, they're not going to be in control anymore, when in actual fact, they never were in control. We're like a bubble floating in the air or a leaf on a tsunami. We are not in control. All we can do is we can figure out which part of the wave we want to exist on or which part of the wind we want to blow so we can turn our bubble to see which part of the earth below us is reflecting. Yeah. So this idea we're in control is silly. The fact is it's a ride, and some of us, while we go through this ride, are going to die prematurely, but I'd much rather die fighting the beast than live 10,000 years in the Matrix. I'm not interested in being loaded up in a rack and having my neurons cybernetically connected to a virtual world and putting me in suspended animation so I can be a quiet citizen of cybernetic Earth and the global elite can have life extension technology and travel to the stars while I quietly dissipate in the matrix of artificial reality. And believe it or not, that's one of the options that the globalists want for the future, for the population of Earth.
Well, indeed, the plot of the movie The Matrix was based on a declassified U.S. Army document or something like that, wasn't it?
Well, exactly.
So they were going to use human beings to generate electricity and keep them in a virtual world.
Well, in 1977, when I got accepted at 1978 to go to UCLA, four of the projects to work with Dr. Wallace Tortelot, and he had a custom-made CT scan implanter, which is basically to implant microwires in deep nuclei in areas of the cortex, and to use AI software to convert neural impulses into thoughts so you can have a supercomputer onboard a U.S. Air Force jet or interface into robots that even operate at a great distance so you can avatar these robots, or to literally insert soldiers that are super soldiers with the what's called the Rambo or kill chip in them, that's what they called it, into certain rage control nuclei to see what they see, hear what they hear, and literally operate them so that they could, by thought, not only actuate ordinances, but also fly jets and even call down satellite-based munitions and ground-based munitions on specific targets. And people say, oh, no, they haven't this total battlefield matrix. Yes, they do. They've tested a lot of it out, actually, in Iraq and Gulf 2 in 2005. Not 2025, but 2005. At the end of the Gulf 2 operational war, which stopped about a year or so ago, they had 12,000-plus swords or operational robots. And those robots were literally on little tracks, not like, you know, like Wally, but they had an ability to hit you with an impulse to hit your dog tags, and if they determine friend or foe, if you're a friend, they wouldn't hit you with a high caliber projectile, and you can do an accurate headshot at 2.5 miles or a directed energy weapon. Now, people think that this is Star Trek and that they can't do this. I'm sorry, if you got Iraqis that told you about, you know, thermionic or microwave bombs that cook you from the inside, or directed energy weapons, or operational robots, or use of mind control weapons such as the poppers that they deployed from Bethesda around the Fallujah and the Najaf, so the women would walk their children out into the line of fire so one of these operational robots wouldn't see a dog tag and blow their woman's head off. That actually happened. I've talked to troops. I've got all kinds of access to documents, and it's, unfortunately, this is real. And a lot of these young men, when they come back, they're so traumatized psychologically from the intensity of the war and the bizarreness of it. They're so over the top, have lost their restraint to even stop killing. They kill their families when they come back, so they're all dosed up to the eyeballs on Prozac and other SSRI drugs and remove all restraint, so they have no compunctions whatsoever from killing their fellow troops in their tents or when they come back home wiping out their entire family here and there.
Bill,
they can't handle dinner elsewhere.
Bill, I was talking to my my cousin the other day, and he's he was a nurse in the psychiatric wards and dealt with all these kind of drugs and emergency rooms and all of that kind of stuff. And he told me that there's no such thing as Prozac leading to murder or suicide or anything like that. It's perfectly safe and whatnot. In your opinion,
just Google the medical literature. Go talk to a product liability attorney who's an MD, biochemist, with a law degree and multiple licenses in multiple states. And he's drooling because he's made $25 million to $30 million last year just suing the hell out of drug companies that knew that the body cap was just a cost of business. So your cousin is medically delusional. He obviously doesn't read, doesn't do Google searches, doesn't go to PubMed, doesn't actually read. And I remember one of my recertification seminars in San Francisco in 2003, and the director of the head of the Department of Psychiatry came up and he said, you know, we really don't know how the hell the brain works. He said, it's like kicking the back end of your 1970s TV, putting foil on the rabbit ears to get a better signal. Because the Japanese have a drug that works the exact opposite of our drugs.
And we'll have to be talking about that after the break. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Dr. Bill Daigle. And we'll be right back after the break.
Well, there's only one thing I need to know.
Why buy long-term storage and emergency preparedness dried and dehydrated foods? Well, freeze-dried and dehydrated foods can be stored just about any place and will be ready when you need it. Like in the event of a disaster that disrupts transportation, grocery stores would be empty within 3 days. Bulk food purchases really make your dollars count. Buying in bulk, your cost per pound drops significantly. And it has 7 to 30 years long-term shelf life. No refrigeration is required either, so if the power goes out, your food is still safe. And you know, studies have shown that dehydrated foods are actually substantially more nutritious than either frozen or canned foods. The loss is only 3 to 5% of the original nutritional value of the food, without added chemicals or additives, making this method of food preservation by far the best choice for natural, healthy eating. So log on to emergencypreparednessdirect.com.
July 4th, come join patriots from all across the great land in eastern Pennsylvania for Freedom Palooza, a 3-day festival of music and great speakers. Come party with the likes of former Congressman Jim Trafficant.
Man, they railroaded that guy.
Mark and Rollins.
Hey, I saw him in Freedom to Fascism.
You want great rock?
We got it.
How about the most influential, hardest working band in the movement today? Poker Face.
We got the Amaro.
Turn the Ballot.
And Killer.
Doug Hawk.
Front Your Enemy.
The Grunts.
Kinetic Blue,
Secret System Band,
Scrap Metal Bomb,
Rebel Inc.
Man, that's a lot of bands.
Camp out under the stars along the Delaware River like our founding fathers did before the Battle of Trenton.
What else are you going to do this 4th of July?
Sit around with family members you hate? Listen to your fat uncle tell the same stories he tells every year?
No way, man. I'm going to Freedom Palooza.
Go to freedompalooza.com
for all the details.
That's freedompalooza.com.
Freedom Palooza.
Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy, or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand. Conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health information plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeley Light removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Perculite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Perculite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or camp light. To view or purchase your Perky water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Perky banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Perky water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Freedom Files. Freedom Files. Weekdays. Files. Monday through Friday from 3 to 5 p.m.
Central. On American Freedom Radio.
Radio.
What is about? There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
History repeating.
Isn't it a lot of little history repeating? In fact, at the closing lines of the last show of Battlestar Galactica, this has happened before and it'll happen again.
Yep.
And the thing is, the real war is not economic. It's not even environmental. It's spiritual. And a lot of people get cringe when you say that word, because most of the, quote, public religions I call real lies going on. And they've been infiltrated by the darkest elements of high-level masonry, the druidic culture, evil in every one of its mutated forms that literally makes certain that people never have an understanding of the nature of their creator God or the nature of what they are as an advanced being that probably predates the dates that people think that we've existed on this planet. And that, in fact, we may have be colonists to this world from a very distant world where we've been the subject of numerous collapses of our civilizations because of the inherent, how can I say it, infancy of our spiritual development and the fact that we can't tolerate technology, it ultimately causes our demise. And even when there's galactic cyclical changes, like we're heading into a galactic cycle of coronal mass ejection and crazy sun activity and mini ice ages, instead of responding as a global collective to use common sense and preserve the environment and ourselves, we decide to make war, launch biological weapons, put depleted uranium on people's property.
No, come on, Bill. We didn't decide any of that. The New World Order decided it, and we just basically didn't do anything about it.
Well, the problem is, you see, that the New World Order are a tiny group of people, and they're steering us like we've got a bit in our mouth, the information bit. And the biggest problem, the biggest crime isn't the global elite doing the evil. It's the apathy, the cop out of the population. The population.
Well, that's the cop-out syndrome. And there's a guerrilla artist, I forget his name, Banksy. Have you heard of this person? And he once had a very interesting quote. He says, "The problem with the world is that everybody follows orders. The reason why that's a problem is because some of the worst atrocities that have ever been committed are because people blindly follow orders." Okay,
well, so if the nicest people you could have met if you kind of got on a time machine before World War One and Two were the German people, but yet by apathy, they became monsters.
So the point is, if everybody just stopped following orders, there'd be no more atrocities like that.
Right. It's just like Alexander Solzhenitsyn's comment in his book, Gulag Archipelago, if we had known that we were going to go to these frozen wastelands and starve and be worked to death and literally die in our own vomit, we would have pounced on them like wild rats and used everything from dinner forks and knives and farm implements, and we would have executed our captors, and they would have found no one willing to go to the apartment complexes and the buildings to haul us away to a frozen death in the wastelands of Siberia.
Yep, absolutely. And in the future, the television industry will get much worse. I mean, there's Survivor and all of that kind of stuff, and you know, but in the future, this reality TV will be like Survivor, Gulag, Archipelago.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it'll have these games where you actually play for someone to live and die, and you'll have competitions where at the end of the reality TV show, someone actually physically does die.
Oh yeah, man. Oh, and by the way, there's a great film you should see, Exit Through the Gift Shop, about Banksy and his street art and all of that. And what it kind of says to me, Bill, here is that there's so many people of like mind that have so many different skills in the art of influencing society to certain extents, right? And I think the problem with society is that we don't realize that the more we give, the more we get back. And that's why people don't exponentially expand, is because they don't want to give up everything for everybody else.
Right. In other words, they don't want to freely give information like you and I are doing, or like I do every day. I try to give my consults to help people get well and give new paradigms and connect to top doctors, anti-aging technologies. For example, this December, I'm presenting a lecture in Las Vegas to the International Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. And we're at the edge, literally, of not only life extension, but life multiples, of literally reaching what I call the terminal velocity, where human beings don't need to die. We don't need to suffer disease. We don't need to suffer war, or energy loss, or information loss, or anything. The biggest deficit in our world is lack of wisdom and true spirituality, not religion. Real lies going on, because religion, without spirituality, is the poison, the strychnine that's killing our world.
Well, it seems to me that all of the spiritual awareness and awareness of nutrition and open, transparent government has been purposely dumbed down out of the population. And that really has culminated in a very, very docile mass, which don't really get too uppity about anything. You know, they've got Prozac binding agents known as fluoride in their water. They've got...
Yeah, you know how they work, right?
And you know what? What this seems to me is the argument against it is, well, it's only one part per million. How much damage can that do? And you think to yourself, well, look at it this way. There's only one part per million and like a million out of the million things that you actually come into contact with. So that means that there is a cumulative effect with everything that you touch and every environment of which you sit. There are electromagnetic radiation coming out of the computers upon which we do this radio show right now. There is no freaking way, ladies and gentlemen, that you can escape the poisoning aspects that have been laid out for the entirety of industrial society.
For example, from a scale radiation like cell phones, the very first thing you take is mineralization of your body. You can take antioxidants and things to, like probiotics and chelators, like we have in our radiation protocol on NutriMedical.com. So you can do things to buffer yourself against what I call toxic information, the toxic drugs of video games, the toxic movies and ideas that are put on what I call the SpongeBob SquarePants idiot box news, where CNN and these others just all parrot each other and try to make sure that your brain is turned to a gooey mush instead of actually connecting neurons that make you a sentient being that cares about the death of your planet. The fact is that we are being killed first by information, and then the other forms of death are setting in like rigor mortis.
Yep, yep. When I think the Green Movement, I think rigor mortis.
Well, the Green Movement basically was hijacked. I was a marine bacteriologist in 73 before I went into medicine working on marine bacteriology. And I got out of Greenpeace because they were spraying red paint on little seal pups. And I told them, I said, what are you idiots doing? I said, you know what will happen is the seabirds will peck their eyes out and the great whales will simply see them through the ice now because they're painted. Pounce them into the air and swallow them whole, which they did. So what we have is environmental movements now taken over by George Soros and the globalist environmental movements and Rothschilds and all the idiots that, like Igor, I call him, Al Gore, who tell us that the Anthropocene era is the era where mankind is destroying the planet by simply breathing out. And the solution to save the Earth is to die. They should have like they had down here at the county fair in San Diego here a few days ago, they had a dance of Thriller, you know, because I think it's near the anniversary of the death of Michael Jackson. And what we should have is we should have them all dressed up in fat suits to simulate Al Gore with makeup on doing a Thriller dance, because he's telling us the same thing. If you don't all die, the planet will.
You know, there's these great spectacles, you know, and the problem is they want everybody to die, right? But I don't see any of them volunteering.
Well, you know what? I'm willing to put in a donation to a fund to make T-shirts for Al Gore's foundation that says, if you're a globalist, you first.
Yeah, absolutely. Or, no, actually, how about we make them love it, okay? We print out a T-shirt that says, I will sacrifice myself for Gaia. And then
and we have a line going up the side of a volcano, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Outside of Portland, Oregon, you know? Just come up here, it's the tourist trap, we'll fly you in free, and if you're a globalist, just make your way to the top and jump. It won't hurt for long.
Well, you know, that reminds me of something Max Kaiser said. You know, back in the day when the big Icelandic volcano was going off and the big financial crisis was looming. I know it seems like a repeat of history, but he was doing a little skit about how we should sacrifice the bankers into the volcano.
Well, you know, the thing
in order to appease it and to solve our economic woes.
Well, remember now, all of this is set up as a dialectic. If you sacrifice the bankers, what do you do next? Well, you got the Matrix. See, what we needed to do was have things like Glass-Steagall to make sure that we just write off this artificial debt that's, you know, equivalent to 257 Earths. If you tax
and maybe you could write it and you could call it Glass-Steagall.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Glass-Steagall. The problem is, I haven't got as much chance as a snowball in hell being elected as president, and I would have a half-life in picoseconds if I was elected.
Well, you'd have to be from hell in order to be elected in the first place anyway.
Right. Yeah. Well, Obama's been fully
or at the very least financed by hell.
Well, look at George Soros. You know, he profited from hauling the gold fillings and teeth out of his compatriots and there were Jews, and thought it was the most wonderful part of his life working for the Nazis during the Second World War. And of course, people don't understand it a great deal. 122,000 of the Nazi SS and the secret police were full of purple Jews, but they're all Sabbatean Satanists. They all were saying we want to amputate the gangrenous religious limb of Judaism. This is where I tell people they often think they lose Dr. Dingell. Why do you get into the spirituality? Because without correct spirituality, none of the other political things or the scientific things will ever make sense. The first thing, just like 0-1 in mathematics, is if you don't know what you are, a human being that's a spiritual, fleshly being with a spiritual part of you, and you're connected to every other spiritual human being and every other living thing on this planet and the universe. If you don't know that, and you don't know the nature of creation and the creator, it's like 0-1 in mathematics. You can never sort things out. You'll reach a certain level, and like a bug hitting the glass, you'll bump your nose and say, gee, I can't understand why I can't get through the glass.
And duty, and ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back momentarily with our two of the Vinny Eastwood Show with Bill Daigle. Back in a moment at the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. Join us in the chat room.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendovite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendovite works. If you're looking for more energy or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendovite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with use potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics,
no taboo topics,
no fear of doom,
no fear of doom.
We are American Freedom Radio,
American Freedom Radio.
Gentlemen, calling out for a little bit of unity.
Unity.
Welcome. Welcome back. And check it out, ladies and gentlemen. Go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and join us in the relatively little busy chat room for this time of the day. And I can only put that down to my fabulous guest, Dr. Bill Deagle. They seem to swarm like moths to the flame, and
well, hopefully not radioactive flame. We're living here in Southern North County, and we're getting lots of Fukushima.
Well, which means there's no such thing as non-radioactive flame at the moment, sir. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm certain. One of the messages that came through, of course, on my Skype was one of the listeners that listened to me think something big is about to pop. Well, I'm not going to give you absolutes unless I know absolutes, but some of the Twitter, if you want to call the chatter that's going on, is that there is an impending large quake going to strike the New Madrid system that has 25 Mark I-style Westinghouse reactors sitting on this fault line area, old reactors that should have been shut down years ago. and in the midst of these floods, and they want a natural disaster in America because the American public is getting too pesky, and they need to move up to the next level where they don't just have terahertz body scanners in airports. They want them in shopping centers, and they want them in the bus stations. So if you want to go shopping or travel, you have to bend over to the anatomically abnormally long index-fingered TSA jackbooted thug that's going to do an internal body cavity search before you can go searching through the shopping center for whatever you want to buy. Now, people say, that can't happen. They want that to happen in America. In fact, the biggest growth industry in America is policing Americans.
It is. There are collapsible mobile guard towers being put outside Walmarts all across the U.S. There are these massive digital screens, the if you see something, say something campaign. You know, big sis from Homeland Frickin' Security. Homeland Security. Just like Deutschland. Oh, yes, man. Wipe out the communist terrorists.
Well, you know, they actually designated Walmarts as being distribution centers for food in case of national emergency. And you're right. I actually got the plans by internal security people that passes to me from the U.S. Postal Service. And all these major postal exchange or sorting centers right across America actually have civil detention and questioning rooms with torture chambers and everything. And I actually got the plans. And I talked about this some years ago on my show. But as I say, most of the time I only talk about 10% of it because unless we get us some humor, I can't get deep into this. People shut down. They're almost like someone in the dental chair that's had too many dental procedures, and they go into shock, or they actually pass out on you. Because they think they freeze. They think no, you can't be telling the truth because you speak too fast. You have too many facts. My brain can't lie to myself quickly enough to shut them down. So what do I do?
Do you suppose that everybody who's actually trying to put the truth out there is having a real hard time? Like, nobody's actually got it easy. Everybody finds it a real hard struggle because they're discriminated against from every conceivable direction, from their own family.
Oh, absolutely.
There's Patriot infighting, there's COINTELPRO setups, you know? I mean,
absolutely.
Is anybody having a good time in the truth movement, man? No wonder we need to laugh about it, man.
We do, and the reason why people like me exist is because I've got an internal genetic personality disorder. I don't give a damn what people think about me, including my relatives and family. And if they want to come kicking and screaming into reality once they realize that the damn mess is happening, that's fine. But I'm a leader. I'm not a follower. I'm absolutely inoculated against and immunized against the idea that I have to kiss people's butts or be Mr. Nice Guy, Doctor. And it's not Dr. Doom. It's Dr. Get off your ass and stop complaining that things are bad and fix it. If we had a tiny minority of the population to walk up and realize both the banking thing and the depleted uranium and the crazy vaccines and the financial system, this problem would be over in a weekend. We would wake up on Monday morning and the birds would chirp and the sun would shine and all of a sudden we'd have real money. We wouldn't be breathing depleted uranium. We wouldn't be having body cavity searches and terahertz scanners. We wouldn't have bank collapses starving the third world. We wouldn't be at fear of the bomb, like duck and cover when I was a kid, we'd practice it. We would have a real world. So I got your message here that you want to open it up to open lines. I'm ready to answer any question that anybody wants to ask about health. Again, they can listen to my show Monday to Friday, 2 to 5 Pacific, 12 to 3 Pacific, 2 to 5 Central, 3 to 6 Eastern in America, broadband worldwide, K-band satellite, North and South America, ABC affiliates, and micro-broadcasters all over the country and as far away already as Western Australia rebroadcast in Europe, but we need more. And that's why I'm going to hope that we can get more people out there that will not only listen to your show, but listen to my show, and they'll get off their butt, stop complaining, stop whining, start cracking humorous jokes, start doing real things rather than waiting till the next shoe falls and all hell breaks loose.
Well, you know, people are always worried about that time when all hell breaks loose. They're worried about that time that genocide will start being committed against the population. And I got news for everybody, you know, it is in progress. It is already being done.
It's capo.
It has never been in such full swing as it is right now because it's being done to everybody simultaneously in 1,000 different ways at every hour of the day and night.
Yeah. Well, it's like being people in Santorini, and Thera's just blown, and someone's at the shop down there at the little, buying vegetables for their dinners. This is 3,600 years ago. And they don't realize someone's tugging on their garments and saying, look over your shoulder. And they said, don't bother me. I'm trying to get the right haggle for the right price of vegetables. And there's a 150-foot wall of water waiting to wipe out them and their civilization. And people don't get it. And it always makes me laugh and cry at the same time that people want to attack the messenger because they don't want to get it. And all they needed to do is to get to high ground and the wave wouldn't get them. But they don't want to have someone tug on their shoulder and say, you know, it's time to maybe we should run up to high ground. But they don't want to do it.
Can I ask you, Bill, what are some of the most grueling and experiences that you've had through your course in this level of discourse? Because, you know, I'm pretty sure you must have been set up and called a whole bunch of names, even attempted to be killed.
Cliff High called me a CIA agent for Webbot. I'm thinking, Cliff, why do you do that? If you read jewelry, we're doing what's called, I call it electronic necromancy. In other words, you're plumbing the spiritual subconscious by taking keywords of the internet using various forms of scattergrams and correlative algorithms for. And you see Dr. Deagle's name linked up with special agencies. Maybe you might be clued into the fact that I'm under constant surveillance, constant threats of death, constant harassment, and I've had some of the most vile attacks. I mean, I don't care. What I do care about is not so much the vile attacks as that someone else might not believe the plain truth I'm telling about dangerous vaccines and fluoride and depleted uranium because some moron says something. They Googled Dr. Deagle and got 23 million hits and said Dr. Deagle is A, B, and C, which I don't need to repeat.
The worst part of it is that you're not experiencing it just from the slaves. You're getting it from your own people as well.
Well, yeah, the problem is, you see, the truth or infighting is one of the issues. Now, the truth or infight, I think, it needs to be on a battlefield of issues, not personalities. In other words, I may not agree with somebody else, but I want to hear their opinion on why they believe it. And then they should also hear mine. And we're going to advance if we do that. But what we often see is some people will kind of say, well, yeah, I got the absolute truth. I got this reliable source on such and such a date. Armageddon's going to happen. I'm thinking, please don't do that. Give me something that's more solid I can bite my teeth into that I can tell people. Like, for example, I get people all freaked out and say, well, because there's so much stuff bad going on, I can't prepare. I said, look, what can you do? Number one, do you drink soda? I ask them I start off with little tiny questions. They said, yeah, I drink soda. And well, why? I said, do you keep the bottles? They said, well, no, not really. I throw them in the trash. I said, why don't you wash them out and stack them in your closet so that if the water mains are shut down and there's no electricity, you got water for 3 weeks in your closet. And they look at me like, oh, I can do that. Or, did you ever buy junk silver, I tell them. I say, what's that? That's pre-1963 dimes that are like $2.90 a dime. But if you buy a bunch of them, you could buy food if all of a sudden money is worth nothing and you have to have a wheelbarrow of whatever paper currency you have to buy a loaf of bread. Or do you have canned goods and frozen food or dehydrated food? You have even the cheapest ones. Even if you don't dehydrate, can you bring it down to, say, a place where you can get it dehydrated and store it under, nitrogen or whatever? Yeah, I could do that. I said, well, you need to start doing these things because there's going to be spasms like birth pangs that are going to hit us, whether it's in America or New Zealand. And the people in Christchurch were totally taken aback. They thought, well, we got over that big earthquake. We're fine now. No, you're on thixous tropic soil that becomes liquid. You're right beside a giant caldera, which is the Christchurch Harbor, which is literally a volcanic caldera. And you should know, just like the Japanese building giant reactors sitting on a subduction zone on, Earthquake Central, that they better be prepared. So when you take a sharp pencil and start cutting and cutting and cutting, and you don't remember the previous cuts you did, don't be surprised when you got paper-thin pipes that can't stand the pressure and you can't vent off the hydrogen and your reactor blows up and all of a sudden you've gone Fukushima. So the infighting to me is one that needs to happen with facts. Now there's people are all into turf wars and ego wars. I'm not into that garbage. I want people to examine the facts and then do something else. They need to go quietly aside and pray, which means you just get quiet enough to think, is this really true or not? You don't need to go to some ashram or some statue or do some ceremony or an animal sacrifice. You need to pray to the Most High God that they that whatever the heck is they've been received in terms of logic, because you don't leave your brain at the door, that it's true or not. And then do something. Don't do anything, but just do something. It means go and complain to your city council you don't want fluoridation in your water. Go to your school board and say, I'm not going to let my kid get vaccinated. Join a group of pro se litigants and file an action to recall a senator or congressman who's doing stuff to screwing over your state or your business or whatever. But do something. If everybody did something in whatever country, the problem would be solved in a few heartbeats. In a couple weekends, we'd say, gee, that was a bad case of New World Order. Now it's over. But yep. We don't do it.
Well, the New World Order is kind of like cancer. There's a big myth out there that it's an incurable disease.
Yeah. Well, the problem is, you see, they don't want to tell you that the cure is really simple. But the fact is, the disease really isn't the evil that's going on. It's the apathy. The most nauseating thing to me is that there are people willing to Google you and take the lowest common denominator of the nastiest thing that some idiot said out of his delusional mind. I had somebody when I traveled around 12 years ago in the Prophecy Club after I traveled to 42 cities in Israel, wrote a book with extensive documentation that I'm the Antichrist. I'm thinking, now here's a person that has significant problems that I'm not going to recommend you take Prozac because he might become a murderer or a serial killer, but he definitely needs some psychological assistance.
Oh, I'm not sure, Bill, because I don't know. I think you're the Antichrist.
Like, I tell people, if you start worshiping me, you're in big trouble. I only want people to wake up. See, the reason why they make heroes, you know why they make heroes? So you don't need to do anything. Hey, he's so smart, so this, that. And then if the heroes fall, they say, see, not only could I not do what the hero did when he was doing the right thing, look at how far he fell. So I don't need to do a damn thing. I can let the earth go to hell in a handcart. And who cares if 2 centuries from now you have to live in dome cities, and if you go outside you have to wear a radiation suit and oxygen pack or you'll die within minutes. That's the world we're facing. The world is dying of apathy and dying of cowardice and jellyfish backboneless people who want to attack the messenger and not get out there in faces of music with the real truth of what's happening. That's the problem.
Well, the mainstream media is covering up Fukushima just like they covered up Chernobyl, and Chernobyl is nothing compared to this. I mean, there's a mainstream media article, Bill. You'll crack up at this. It said, oh, it's 20% worse than Chernobyl. Oh, my God. Chernobyl didn't even go into meltdown. Chernobyl wasn't even online for like 40 years or something. Chernobyl didn't have that many years of spent fuel rods stored on top of reactors, three of which blew sky high in a spectacular fashion and are currently melting down and are popping hundreds of tons of highly radioactive water, dumping it into the ocean and the water table. And you say it's 20% worse, you say?
Well, we know we've calculated on already that we're estimating it's at least 70 times worse than Chernobyl. And we know that there was around roughly 1.5 million, with an M, tons of radioactive water that was dumped into the Pacific Ocean. And this is a constant nuclear sore. And in the words of Michio Kaku, the physicist, Japanese specialist from Japan, he said, they aren't even into the, we'll call it, shutdown phase where they contain it. We're looking at years of this spewing radiation into the air and water that'll bioaccumulate. And the lower, shorter-acting isotopes like radioiodine only lasts 4 half-lives, which is 32 days. But the ones that are intermediate last 250 years, strontium 90 and cesium 137, that will cause, like cesium causes breast cancer, strontium 90 will cause children's bone cancer, and then the longer isotopes like plutonium last 22,000 year half life, so 150,000 years, what, you know, give or take a few tens of thousands of years, and the really big one is uranium that has a half-life of 4.7 billion years. So long after the sun is a dead cinder in a dying galaxy and a planet and a universe that is collapsing towards a new singularity, they'll still be suffering from Fukushima.
Yep. It seems
and
that
people don't get this. They don't understand the burden.
Hold on a second. Wasn't there some kind of Bible verse or whatever saying that a third of the life in the oceans would die in the end times? You know, my take is that the New World Order scumbags have got the technology to make all this kind of stuff happen anyway, and they're just using the Book of Revelations as a playbook to make all the Christians stand down.
Absolutely.
And then they're going to have some kind of a big false event where God or aliens or some crap will turn up and everybody will be like, oh, whoopsie daisy, you know, let's have a great big global world government because we're all just one species and it's us versus the galaxy or whatever.
Yeah, I know. It'll be another Star Wars. It'll be another big blockbuster movie, but it'll only be in 4D rather than 3D.
Yeah,
I agree. I think that we're being manipulated into a whole paradigm shift that is all being, they're steering the global consciousness toward their idea, their track, their timeline of what they want to unveil. The thing is, if they call it remote viewing. I call it just prophesying. But the current term, they call it remote viewing, which really isn't correct. Because I believe it's just part of the nature of what we are. And some of us have more of that skill than others, but it's, you know, either by nature or by practice. The fact is that the globalists know that they've, quote, looked into the future, and guess what they checked at the last pages of the book and said, what the heck? We're not in the last chapters of this book.
And they aren't happy about it, ladies and gentlemen, and they're going to take it out on you. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. We'll be right back after the break with Dr. Bill Daigle. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're now joined for a panel discussion by a fabulous YouTuber who has only just woken up in the fragile red state of China. And recently he's been uploading an awful lot of blogs on YouTube about his thoughts on the current economic crisis and New World Order in general. And we thought it prudent to have him on the show. It's a little bit unexpected on my part, and I believe this is probably my fault. But in either case, we have Bill Deagle and our very special guest who's now going to introduce himself.
Right, thanks, Vinny. Well, it all started about last May, actually, when I was going through the internet and, you know, like many people, I'd basically bought the official 9/11 story. I assumed that there must be these Muslims out there who really hated America very much because of all the terrible things America's done. And so, you know, obviously I found it plausible, and I'd seen lots of attack pieces on the truth movement by comedians like Bill Maher, Penn and Teller, and so on. I'd seen the way David Icke was treated. So there was no incentive for me to go there. You know, like many people, I was living in with my head in the sand. I assumed that there was no truth in any of this stuff. And the media made it very clear that anyone who investigated issues such as this was obviously one can short of a six-pack. So, you know, even though I really opposed U.S. policy in terms of the wars that they make in Afghanistan and Iraq and so on, the basic premise of why this whole thing kicked off about the 19 Arab terrorists armed with box cutters and with indestructible bandanas and so on and passports that wouldn't burn, I accepted as a sort of article of faith. And of course, what they did was very clever, Vinny, because if you cast your mind back to 2001, in order to prevent people from thinking about this issue, they arranged lots of other activities to coincide with 9/11. For example, there was the anthrax business, which was a clear inside government job. And then, of course, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan followed very quickly, so that people of goodwill, people who hate war and like peace, had no opportunity to sort of sit back and think about what this whole thing was all about and why it all started. So we were kept on the back foot. The story about this whole thing, the script was already written. The night of the Patriot Act and other legislation had already been drafted. And the decisions on what to do with the anger that this event generated had already been made. Are you with me so far, Vinny?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, when I started to discover this, I mean, I know it sounds like I'm making this up. You know, people say I was up all night. But literally, for a month, I really was up all night. I was sleeping in the day and researching at night. And the more I looked into it and the more I compared the official story with the alternative narrative, the more I realized that the official story was, in fact, not demonstrably false and a pack of lies with no truth in it whatsoever. So, you know, there's always an issue in the truth movement about, you know, we're supposed to prove exactly what happened and who did what and when and so on. For me, that's less of an issue because I think most of us have now come to the conclusion, have seen categorically using demonstrable logic and scientific-based research that the official story is totally untrue. And therefore, we realize a great crime has been committed. And now researchers around the world, independent researchers, obviously, because the government aren't helping us, are having to try and work out what exactly did happen using our own limited resources. But I think we can all agree that whatever did happen on 9/11, it was not what the government said. I don't know if the doctor there in California would like to comment on anything I've just said.
Yeah, everything you said is absolutely right on. I think what you do first is you get, as you said, a kind of a truth gestalt. You kind of put it all together and it has to look like the pieces of the puzzle, even though you don't have all the pieces, sort of are in the right places on the table. And then you try to, you know, it's just like scientific discovery or like when Michelangelo would look at a block of marble, he could already see the statue in the marble, and he chipped away at the rock so that the statue could be revealed. The same with the truth of 9/11. What you're saying is you looked at it and you say, doesn't smell like it's the truth, looks like vomit, looks like a lie, I don't think I believe it, and I'm going to look at an alternative. And then you start to pulling together some facts, and some of them are really hard facts, I call level one facts, some are level two, some are level three, are kind of, you know, on the shelf. But you pull it together enough, you say, gee, you know, I don't have all the answers, but I do have a lot better, really good questions. And that's
it's like a jigsaw, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a jigsaw. And as you get deeper and deeper into this, you get more and more enraged by the fact that they purposely have made sure the pieces of the puzzle are separated, or they suppress the truth. They make sure it doesn't have an open discussion. They won't bring on experts like myself on major media, because I presented 4 years ago at the Vancouver 9/11 conference proof that there were almost 40 anomalies that showed that besides high explosives like super thermite, they used micro nukes inside the World Trade Center. And I presented the data that they had, for example, 55 times the upper limit of normal background tritium in the water of building number 6, plus many other anomalies, including, you know, aluminized engine blocks blowing and aluminized mirrors and plenum chambers of air conditioners blowing because they're made of aluminum, all kinds of other anomalies that showed that they used nuclear demolition. Just look at the debris pile. Look at the mass of the buildings.
I'm not an expert on this matter, and you don't actually have to be.
I think for me,
personally, the jury is out on what it was exactly that brought down the World Trade Center. Right. I am familiar with the directed energy theory and also the mini nukes theory. Right. I've always found the thermite theory the most plausible, but I'm not ruling out the other theories.
The thermite theory cannot explain the whole thing, and I'll tell you why. Because the mass of the building, more than one-third of the mass of the building was turned to an atomic vapor and blew away. So it's not even in the debris pile. So thermite would have left the mass there. That's number one. Directed energy weapons, you'd have to have a nuclear-type explosion, and you would have an asymmetric fall of the building because you have to hit it from outside, and therefore the building would fall over like a domino. So the only thing, and I have this from actual munitions experts in Finland that actually sent me the documents that they were recruited to actually give a quote for the demolition of the World Trade Center towers because they were sick buildings. They were told back in the 80s they had to remediate them, and they were going to cost between $1.5 to $2 billion per floor of the World Trade Center tower to remove 1.5 to 2 inches of high fiber asbestos from the inside pillars of the building. As a result, the buildings were basically giant elephants that couldn't be insured. They managed to get them double insured, so you know, these criminals, which is a Blackstone group and George Soros, demolished the buildings while, again, Odigo, the messaging company from Israel, wasn't there. All kinds of other people were not there because the word got out, and this is another one of these, quote, anomalies, that only a tiny fraction of people that died that would have otherwise died. 3,000 being in those buildings when the mall and the two towers of Building 7 and Building 6, if they were all filled, there would have been over 30,000 people in those buildings.
Yeah, the terrorists seemed very keen not to minimize casualties, didn't they? I mean, they chose a public day.
They figured, we need to have enough dead in order to justify more illegal wars because, as I said in the first hour, how did our oil get under Saddam Hussein's Iraq? So, two illegal wars, trillions of dollars of debt, and again, what they're doing now is blowing up the world with this debt bomb. And it's designed to bring in a new financial system. So, as I say, you don't have to have all the answers. What you do, whether or not you agree with my thesis, which, by the way, once I get the final radiation testing, it'll close the gate on whether to use directed energy weapons or nukes. I know from my contacts deep inside the government, they used a combination of explosives, including super thermite and micronukes, not directed energy weapons. And the reason why I know about directed energy weapons as well is having a background in nuclear physics. As I work for U.S. Space Command and their space-based weapons platform and space-based directed energy weapons, and there is no way that a directed energy weapon in a nearby building could have caused a symmetric collapse of the building on its own footprint. It's not possible. That's just a physical fact.
And my to dumb it down, basically, and we do have a dumbed down mass, but I don't think we have a dumbed down audience here on this show. But the shorthand is, here's your test of whether or not 9/11 was an inside job. Have you gone to your barbecue? Turn the grill on. Okay. Yeah. Now, first test, does the grill melt? No. Second test, does the barbecue does the barbecue explode into particleized dust? No. 9/11 was an inside job.
I think for me, Vinny, and not only is this all very convincing, but you know, when you look at the fake witnesses that the media interviewed on 9/11, like the infamous Harley man and the fake hard hat guys. I don't know if you recall that SUV full of hard hatted guys claiming to have been with the super on the roof of Park Place. Totally fake. Just actors reading from a script, really. And then, of course, the engine part, which was discovered, which didn't even correspond to the right engine. It wasn't even from a 767. And then, of course, the so-called experts who claim that, you know, the planes had 90,000 litres of fuel. Well, apparently the version of the 767 that hit the South Tower was a 200 version, and apparently that maximum fuel of that particular model, according to Wikipedia at least, is 60,000 litres. So, you know, I mean, Thomas Eagar and Chris Moore, who was debating debating Richard Gage and one video I've seen on YouTube, was claiming 90,000 litres. So in order to make their theory more credible, they have to lie and exaggerate everything. I mean, as if an aircraft flying from Boston to Los Angeles, which is already past New York and has had to turn back, could perhaps hit the World Trade Center. I mean, of course, we know that a plane hit the World Trade Center, in my opinion, with a completely full tank of fuel, kerosene. You know, aviation fuel sounds very exciting to the average person, but from my research, it's just kerosene. And you can put kerosene in a fire at home, and it can burn all day, and it won't melt. And
you won't steel grating in your fireplace or anything. It does nothing.
Yes, and that's why I do recommend a superb documentary that I personally respect. There's many I do respect, but I don't know if you've seen 9/11 Demolitions. That's a particularly good one, and does go into the science in a very matter-of-fact way. I think the narration by a lady, I think Sheila Shakar, I think her name is. Are you familiar with that, Vinny? 9/11 Demolitions?
No, not really. But as far as I'm concerned, there's a lot of different theories about 9/11 and a lot of different evidence for 9/11. I mean, I've interviewed three different groups of people. There's Dr. Judy Wood with the directed free energy weapons technology that may have been used there, and there's a lot of evidence for that. It's very strange occurrences indeed, like the toasty cars is a big one. Google that.
EMP. Yeah. I'll tell you why, Vinny. It's very important to understand.
I just wanted to finish because there's that theory. Then of course there's Dmitry Khalazov and his nuke theory. And then of course there's the Richard Gage idea about the controlled demolition. And in my opinion, it might actually be a combination of all of the above, so that everybody argues for one way or the other, not realizing that they're all right and they're all wrong.
Well, let me explain. The micro-nukes are a form of directed energy weapon. These new tunable nukes can generate energy that can be very specific to a certain energy spectrum. So if you want to have a nuke that generates only a nuclear device that only generates gamma rays or the electromagnetic pulse or neutrons, like the neutron weapon, we have those. We've had them for four decades plus. What you're right, there's a combination. But the reason why we have to know that the central part of the demolition was nuclear, whether you call it a nuclear directed energy weapon that's inside like a chain of pearls inside the building, because it had to be inside, is this. And I have this from my classified sources. Their next plan, and I work with special forces in Delta and Colorado and other places, and I've confronted them directly, and they've told me they've been doing war game simulations for nukes going on in multiple cities in the United States, where they won't just blow up a few buildings. They'll blow up 30 or 40 blocks with a nuke much bigger than the ones that blew up Nagasaki and Hiroshima, where they'll have millions of Americans dead and every burn unit in North America and Europe filled. So it's important to discern this. This is why I'm really working so hard and have been given threats repeatedly that if I do the testing, and I've been told this by the Department of Defense, if I do the request to test in Canada, Britain, or America at any of my labs, including my alma mater, for radiotoxicology and plasma neutron spectroscopy, which will close the gate on this completely, the real issue is they want nukes to go off. And the reason why it has to be a nuke, okay, is that they want to blame it on the Waziristani nukes in Pakistan, which is why the recent so-called ninth time, I guess he must be part cat, death of Osama bin Laden, because they want to invade Pakistan, which is why they're so desperate. They want to invade Iran because they want to defang these Islamic countries that have nukes. The fact is that they want to have terrorism in America and they want it to be nuclear so they can close society down completely and control shows like this, make sure everybody is being monitored, and they want to make certain they blame the fact that Pakistanis couldn't even tell them where Saddam Osama.
Yeah, indeed. And then they'll pose, and then they'll pose as the freaking saviors. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the Hegelian dialectic in a nutshell. We'll be right back.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now, and my doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy, or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand. Conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health information plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, enzymes and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR.
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them.
Funny and mind-bending news. PSYOP Radio with Mac White and Smiles Lewis. Sundays at 7 to 9 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
I got some so-called friends. Smile right to my face. All when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on?
That's what we need to know.
I'm flying a JFK.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guests, Dr. Bill Deagle and Paul Taylor as well, joining us live from Beijing, China. Behind the Great Firewall of China.
It's not working very well. There's many ways to get around it, you know. I mean, even before I
used... The Mongols figured that out too, bro.
Even allowing for not using a proxy, actually, I could do a lot of research. 95% of what I wanted to do can easily be achieved. The only reason I personally use a proxy is because of YouTube. China has its equivalents, but they're all in Chinese. So that doesn't have the research material that I personally need. I can live without Facebook, and just about every news source that I personally require is available. Obviously, there are more restrictions for Chinese speakers, but let's not exaggerate. There are actual good public security reasons why the Chinese may not wish all their data and traffic to go via U.S. servers. Don't forget the enormous data mining potential of Google software. Obviously, it would suit the United States if everyone used their software and their websites. That would be ideal from their point of view. So from China's national security perspective, there is a legitimate reason why they don't want to use American versions of software that they can quite easily create themselves. And I myself find it very inconvenient that YouTube is blocked. I'm totally against censorship, but censorship exists in all jurisdictions. There is enormous censorship in the West. People in America have bailed for transmitting Hezbollah TV station, for example. So freedom doesn't really exist anywhere. And I also want to draw your attention to John Hill in the UK, who was sent to jail for like 6 months simply for sending some DVDs to the court about the 7th of July false flag event. So let's be honest about this. The freedom doesn't exist anywhere in the world, but it might exist in our own mind and amongst like-minded people. Freedom is something that you have to keep inside you. But you can't rely on the state to give you freedom. You've got to keep your mind free by not believing the bullshit. And by every time you read about some event, something like 9/11, for example, or any terrorist event.
And by the way, we're under FCC regulations. You have to say BS, but continue.
Okay. Yes, I don't know what I said. BS. I apologize.
Yeah, I mean, that's the initials of the president of America, Barry Satoro, or President BS for short.
Well, it's all about public relations, isn't it? I mean, I think they decided that Obama... the advertising agency that chooses the U.S. presidents and gives America a selection of kosher people to vote for thought, well, you know what? I think it'd be pretty cool if we could, you know, get someone like, you know, Obama with a dark skin. you know, then we can say that, you know, in America, everyone could become president, you know. And a lot of people, you know, think, gee, you know, wow, what a wonderful country. Barack Obama.
It's literally true. Even illegal immigrants who are con men can become president.
Yeah, without a birth certificate.
Yeah, exactly.
And with a serial adulterer as a father. But of course, Barack Obama's mother is Jewish, actually. I think that's a very important fact to mention, because when you have a Jewish mother, you are de facto Jewish. And obviously, it's a bit...
What are you saying, that Judaism is a race?
No, but if you have a Jewish... It's a religion, but it's a religion. Jewish people, for all their faults, do look after each other, and they work very much as a team. And this is why they're very difficult to argue with Jewish people, because they have a game plan which no other group of people has. So they're similar to Freemasons, if you like. They, you know, it's like, you know, a nod and a wink, a special handshake or a kind of gang sign, and then people are on board. And I say that as someone who's got a Jewish father. I'm not Jewish myself, because my mother's not Jewish. But if I did have a Jewish mother, then I would probably, I'd probably feel differently to the way I do now. You know, blood is thicker than water, they say. So yeah. I think Obama's policies, to call him a Muslim and stuff, is a trick. You know, even though Obama's policies have been extremely pro-Israel, they have to pretend that they're not pro-Israel enough. So now in the United States, Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann, and Michelle Bachmann, by the way, to digress somewhat, I've just read something about what she claimed. She claimed she was in Israel on a kibbutz in 1974, and this kibbutz is like 8 kilometers from the modern Gaza border. And she was claiming that she was escorted by soldiers every morning between 4 a.m. and 12. And that there were landmines in the area. And I think anyone who does any research on this issue will see that she's exaggerating and lying, a bit like Hillary Clinton in Bosnia, who claims she came under sniper attack when she didn't. This is just another example of politicians lying. And there's so many others, it's unbelievable. I don't know if... Bill has any comments on that?
I was wondering what would be rarer, is an instance of a politician telling the truth.
Well, actually, that probably happens accidentally, or if they get the wrong teleprompter.
Yeah. There's got to be some real talented hackers out there who could hack Barack H. O'Barry's teleprompter into telling the truth.
It would probably take Obama 10 minutes to realize he's not actually on message. You know, he probably wouldn't realize it, because this is something I dislike about modern politics. I think teleprompters shouldn't be allowed. Any politician who wants the job should, like us, speak without a prompter. None of us have got prompters. I speak as I feel. I speak as I think. And there's no reason why you shouldn't. Any politician shouldn't. But they've got to smile into the camera. They look in. They seem to be looking into your eyes.
No. I totally disagree. Barack H. O'Barry has this kind of Stevie Wonder move, where his kind of head bobbles from one teleprompter to the other, and his eye line only barely flicks across the audience and the camera, and he goes to his next teleprompter mission. And, you know, it would be pretty interesting to see him there, you know, President B.S. giving his speech, and he says, 9/11 was an inside job. Our government set us up in order to invade Iraq and Afghanistan. And I'm going to be pulling all the troops out, and we're going to be taking the fluoride out of the water because it's absolutely poisonous, and we've been taking it from the phosphate fertilizer industry for too long. And I'm going to outlaw Coca-Cola because it burns through your colon like there's no business tomorrow, like a burrito with extra guacamole sauce.
Yeah, he could actually do a monologue for 5 minutes and blow every single conspiracy theory that people think is a theory and say, look, now we've heard it from BS. We know it's not BS.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they'd say, oh, well, that proves he's a Muslim. You know what I mean?
BS is actually, he's a chameleon. He can be anything he wants. He can be pro-life. He can be pro-abortion. He can be Muslim. He can be Jew. He's a black man. He's a white man. He's a high-level Mason. He's whatever you want. He's the universal toy of the New World Order.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I did a video on this about, you know, who I admired in politics. And although there are a lot of people I respect, unfortunately, when you become powerful, you either get corrupted or as you sense victory, the Bilderberg Group invite you in for a private meeting and explain that if you want to be president, you can, but only on the following conditions. So I don't see much hope for politics. I think Western-style democracy has failed, is failing, and cannot succeed. We need to think of a new method of governance. I want to see a lot less governance. I want to see a lot less law. I want to see a lot less politicians. And I want them to do a lot less. I don't like rules and regulations, and I don't want any more initiatives.
Well, you know what? I don't think that they could possibly be doing less. You know what I think? I think the people need to do more. I think that politics needs to become more open source and interactive for all the general public, and that people need to basically have all the powers and prestige taken out of the whole thing about being a parliamentarian. Being a parliamentarian, I feel, should be like jury service. Very lowly paid, extremely inconvenient, and nobody wants to do it because it's real boring. That's what politics should be. And having no power whatsoever and acting under the direction of a whole bunch of other people. That's what politics should be. And now with the internet, I have no doubt that we can do an open source political platform where people are literally able to contribute to formation of policy online in full public view.
So who's going to control the software?
No. Nobody's going to control the software. It's open source so that everybody can actually edit the software themselves. And everybody can like or dislike parts of it. And everybody can discuss. And that way, you really do have an accurate representation of what goes on, as opposed to what the media shells out at the moment, which is just basically a whole bunch of BS that they're paid to spout out and whatnot, and in order to deceive everybody and for voting for somebody who's going to screw them over after the next election.
But Vinny, it's not in human nature to agree. Unfortunately, people like to take positions. If I say, you know, let's all have fish, then for sure somebody who even likes fish will say, no, I think we should have chicken. Another person will say, let's have a vegetarian meal. You know, I mean, it isn't. That is why every election, wherever it's held in any country in the world, is never really decided by a majority. Because like in the United States, for example, you know, 40 to 50% of people never vote. So they're not satisfied with the system.
Yeah.
And then
You're right, actually. It is a small, determined minority that always makes the difference, because the majority have ultimately never mattered, because they're never the ones that come up with all the revolutionary ideas. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guests have been Dr. Bill Deagle and Paul Taylor. You can check him out on YouTube and Bill Deagle at gcnlive.com. And we'll be back with more installments of the fabulous Vinnie Eastwood Show, made fabulous by our marvelous guests. Catch you later, ladies and gentlemen.
Why buy long-term storage and emergency preparedness dried and dehydrated foods? Well, freeze-dried and dehydrated foods can be stored just about any place and will be ready when you need it, like in the event of a disaster that disrupts transportation. Grocery stores would be empty within 3 days. Bulk food purchases really make your dollars count. Buying in bulk, your cost per pound drops significantly. And it has 7 to 30 years long-term shelf life. No refrigeration is required either, so if the power goes out, your food is still safe. And you know, studies have shown that dehydrated foods are actually substantially more nutritious than either frozen or canned foods. The loss is only 3 to 5% of the original nutritional value of the food, without added chemicals or additives, making this method of food preservation by far the best choice for natural, healthy eating. So log on to emergencypreparednessdirect.com.
July 4th, come join patriots from all across the great land in eastern Pennsylvania for Freedom Palooza, a three-day festival of music and great speakers. Come party with the likes of former Congressman Jim Trafficant.
Man, they railroaded that guy.
Mark and Rose.
Hey, I saw him at Freedom of Fascism.
You want great rock?
We got it.
How about the most influential, hardest-working band in the movement today? Poker Face.
We got the Amaro.
Turn the Ballot.
Ant Killer.
Doug Hawk.
Front to Enemy.
The Grunts.
Kinetic Blue.
Note, Secret System Band, Scrap Metal Bomb, Rebel Inc.
Man, that's a lot of bands.
Camp out under the stars along the Delaware River like our founding fathers did before the Battle of Trenton.
What else are you going to do this 4th of July?
Sit around with family members you hate? Listen to your fat uncle tell the same stories he tells every year?
No way, man.
I'm going to Freedom Palooza.
Go to freedompalooza.com
for all the details.
That's freedompalooza.com. Freedompalooza. Freedompalooza.
Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with use potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or camp light. To view or purchase your Berkeley water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkeley banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics.
No taboo topics.
No fear of doom.
No fear of doom.
We are
American Freedom Radio.
American Freedom Radio.